Amen. Good to see everyone. We're going to be in Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew probably for the rest of the year, so that's okay. I'm enjoying it, studying it. I hope you're getting something out of the message as we go along. It's funny because you could say, okay, we're going to study the New Testament, Matthew, but you end up bouncing everywhere. You know, we end up in the Old Testament, you know, everywhere. So it's okay. It's okay. God's leading us. Last week, if you didn't hear the message last week, I want to encourage you to go on our website and listen to it. It's a sensitive subject, but you know, today is a sensitive subject. But like I said last week, I'm going to preach the Bible, the Word of God, and I have to, right? I'll share with Derry. I think I've shared this with a couple guys, and I'll share it. An old preacher friend of mine, he's an old guy, you know, and I told him that I was praying about coming to Pauline and being, you know, accepting the call to be a pastor. And I asked him, I said, you think you're going to be all right? I mean, you think, and he told me, he said, I don't know, Derry, should I say this? I'm going to say it now. I'm already in, deep in. He said, and I respected him a lot. He's a great pastor for like 150 years, you know, kind of thing. And he said, Dallas, you'll be all right if you do three things. I said, what? He said, you always preach the Word of God. Don't go off in the left and right. And, you know, he said, just preach the Word of God. And the other two things, stay away from the honeys and the monies. Oh, come on. That was funny. Isn't that true, though? If a pastor will preach the Word of God and stay away from the monies and the honeys, oh, come on. That's why, I'm good with that. I'm happily married, so I don't have to worry about that one. And then preaching the Word of God, I'm on that one. Hopefully I am. And then the monies, like I'll share with Derry this morning. When I first started here, I don't want to know anything about the tithes. Mary knows. I don't know who tithes. I don't know who gives and what you give and anything. I don't want to know because I don't want to be influenced, my flesh, to say, Brother Fred over here, he gives $1 million a week. And this family here don't give much at all. I don't want to be tempted because it's just flesh, right? I mean, I'm just still, so I don't want to know anything about the money. And that's between you and the Lord, isn't it? And Derry and Mary. Amen. So this morning is a sensitive subject. I know I'm kind of setting it up. But I want you guys to truly understand that I am going to preach the Word of God, and I don't want to come across with any condemnation or make you feel bad. That's not the point. The point is that we just need to learn from the Bible. Amen? All right, so Matthew chapter 5, verse 31 through 32. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. As I always say, it is encouraging to us, and it gives us guidance and wisdom, and it corrects us when we need to be corrected, and it's the lamp unto our feet. And we just love you and thank you. And as we cruise along through Matthew, we're just learning from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Lord, I pray for all the folks that's on the back of our bulletin. Lord, just pray for healing and deliverance and freedom and peace. And Lord, whatever they need, you know each person on the back of that bulletin. You know what they need. And Lord, we just lift them up. We lift them up to you, and we lay them at the foot of the cross and ask for your will to be done in their lives. Father, we pray for our missionaries running around the country spreading the good news of Jesus. We lift up our military and ask you to keep them safe, and pray for all the leaders of our country from the top to the bottom, where you will convict them of their sin, they'll repent of their ways, and we pray for revival in America. I'm going to start here, Pauline. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 31, 32, let's read it. It says, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Amen? All right, so I need you to put your thinking caps on this morning. Take notes. Sorry I don't have the sermon notes in the bulletin, but we try our best. But this morning we just didn't do it. But take good notes. I really want you to pay attention to this scripture and this message, because a lot of times people get confused. They get mixed up about all this. So let's start out. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about the scribes and the Pharisees and all these religious folks who are very, very religious. And they think that their religion is going to get them in heaven. And Jesus tells them that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And remember last week, we talked a little bit about that, but I want to mention it again here. What Jesus is telling them, now see, these Pharisees, that was their job. They were professional religious folks. Every day, all day long, they were dotting their I's and crossing their T's and living as holy as they think they could. They were living as righteous as they could, obeying as all the laws in their own minds they were trying to. They were professionals. Now, it's like Jesus saying to us here, I want you, the Olympics are out now, I'm not watching much of it, but the Olympics, right? Jesus wants you to be just as good as an Olympian. He wants you, if he walked in today and told us, only way that any of us are going to get to heaven is if you can be just as good as those Olympic players. I mean, I know I'm out right away. And then he's telling the Olympic guys, he's looking at all the Olympians and saying, every one of you need to be just as good in any sport and all the sports. So now all of them out. Because those runners are definitely not going to be able to lift 400 pounds. Right? Those guys that are shooting the little weapons on their skis, they're not going to be able to, do whatever the other guys do. So basically, they're not going to be able to live up to this. Jesus is backing them to a corner, getting them to see that they need a Savior. Jesus is getting their attention again here in 31 and 32. He's asking us again, are we righteous or are we just religious? This is a big question, guys. Okay? If we are righteous, it's only because of what Christ did for us on the cross and the resurrection, right? It's only because of our belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The good news of the gospel is the only way that we can become righteous enough to enter into heaven. So everybody say all. Everything, all, it's all wrapped up in Christ and His sacrifice. Because none of us can be perfect. I can't, you can't. We're going to make mistakes. Now last week we talked about this. If you are righteous in Christ, like we just talked about, you should be able to control your anger. And that was 2 weeks ago. Last week is you should be able to control your anger, and you should be able to counteract lust. And last week was some details about sexual morality and lust and that sort of thing. I want to encourage you to listen to last week's message. I'm not sure if you'll be able to hear the breaking of the gravy boat, but I was kind of glad Anita and Trish wasn't here, because I saw pieces breaking and going off into the first and second pew. Sorry. But you won't forget that one, right? Me and Pete was talking, I think you might have to add me to your liability insurance policy. Oh, well. I believe God gave me the idea. these next four verses in Matthew, it talks about several things. Several things. And this morning we're going to talk about divorce. We're going to talk about biblical divorce. Jesus, if you'll notice the scriptures, Jesus introduces this subject by saying, "It was also said." Remember that. Jesus said, "It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." Now, Jesus only mentions women here, okay, because women did not have a right to divorce their husbands in ancient Israel. So let's go to where they're talking about. This is Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. Let's go there for a little bit. So y'all hang with me. It says, "The law given to Moses states a man could give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her on her way." See it. Some Jewish, and I'm not quoting scripture here, some Jewish leaders taught that indecency, remember that word, indecency or uncleanliness in a wife could refer to anything. It could refer to anything that's displeasing to her husband. This is Old Testament. Keep that in your mind. This is Old Testament, Old Covenant, Old Law. In other words, a man could just give a certificate to his wife and say, "Get on about your way, because she burnt his toast." I didn't say that in the Bible, but I mean, that's basically what it's saying. She gained about 18 pounds. I'm good with you now. You're good. Here's your certificate of divorce. Get on down the road. She forgot to get up that morning and feed the chickens. Sorry. They traded women in like used cars. It was terrible, in my opinion. And Jesus knew that he needed to kind of fix all this. Not kind of, but he did. He didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill the law. That's where we live now under the dispensation of grace, the New Testament. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But these cats had messed all this up. That's really what they did. They were inventing rules. Actually, there were 613 laws. And most of them were made up by these religious leaders. When you really study this, you can see that it was to their advantage as a man and as a leader and wannabe leader and all these different things. Deuteronomy, I'm going to read the whole thing. Deuteronomy 24, not the whole thing, but 1 through 4. 1 through 4. So listen up. It says, "When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes." Well, babe, the hair's getting a little gray. You're getting a little, what do they call that thing? A little rooster thing. What is it called? Around the eyes? Crow's feet rooster thing. Well, sorry, ladies. That little crow's foot thing going on, you know. Maybe get a little gobble. I got a big old gobble, you know. Really? Really? "Finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her." There's the word, right? Remember? Indecency in her. "And he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house. And she departs out of his house." She leaves. She has to go. Now, I'm building something here, so y'all hang with me, okay? Because it's all going to kind of make sense when I close it up here. Verse 2, "And if she goes and becomes another man's wife," number 3, "and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter man dies, who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife." You see, all this is considered a domestic matter. And it's not worthy of going to court. See, Jewish leaders who believed in easy divorce also permitted easy remarriage after divorce. Now, if this applies to you in your life, don't be condemned and don't feel bad. I'm going to help you out a little bit, okay? Jesus is. Jesus is going to help you out a little bit. That's why Paul said, right? Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So hang with me. Other Jewish leaders taught that divorce could only be the grounds of adultery. Now, the Hebrew word translated indecency, remember we had that word? Indecency, the Hebrew word for that, is the same word for nakedness. And it was a word that substituted for sexual immorality. This is Old Testament, okay? Jesus, again, was taking it to another level. This is what Jesus is doing with them. He's talking to them about Old Testament law. Old Testament law. It's not even New Testament yet. Okay, Jesus is still alive. He's talking about Old Testament law, rules, and regulations here. And he's backing these guys into the corner. Just like he did with anger, remember? We talked about 2 weeks ago. They thought they were righteous because they'd never actually killed somebody. But Jesus took it to a whole nother level and said, look, if you even hate a man in your heart, a woman, you know, that you've committed murder. Talk about that last week. They were thinking they were righteous because they've never had sex with another woman. But Jesus took it to a whole nother level. He said, no. He said, even if you have lust in your heart for someone, you've committed adultery. So here, see this for what this is. Jesus is backing them in the corner, taking it to another level. Jesus makes the intent of this command very clear to them. He declares there is only one biblical ground for divorce. Remember, he's talking to these guys in the Old Testament, holding them accountable to this old covenant law. And that's what verse 32 is. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. He's backing them into the corner, hoping that they will realize that they got it all wrong. Their works is not going to get it done anymore. Their works, they're trying to be the best. I'm trying to get it right. I'm trying to be good enough. It's not going to work anymore. None of us are good enough. I'm not. You're not. None of us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now, let's move into the New Testament. Everybody ready? Let's move into the New Testament. All right? The New Testament gives three reasons for divorce. Three reasons. Remember, Jesus was talking to the Old Covenant folks, and they would tell them, this is what it is. The New Testament teaches three things, and they all begin with the letter A. These are three biblical reasons for divorce. And they all begin with the letter what? A. The first one is just what we talked about. Adultery. Adultery. The word translated sexual immorality or fornication means any form of forbidden sex. Now, we're all adults here. I don't need to get into that, right? Any form of forbidden sex is adultery. Matthew 15:19 says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. Mark chapter 7 verse 21. Mark 7:21. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, and adultery. Everybody with me? Adultery is it's really, in the broadest sense, it includes, sex with anyone other than your spouse. Okay? Spouse meaning what? Male, female. I thought I'd never have to entertain the idea, and I know I don't hear. But there are preachers in the country right now in America that's having to preach, and they're having to say from the pulpit, we've all said for thousands of years that, you know, biblical marriage is between a man and a woman, right? And now they're having to say between, like, a spouse, sex between a married spouse, your spouse. And now in certain parts of the country, that means not only it could be male-male, it could be female-female, right? And now we're at a point now where there are preachers having to preach in the pulpit the difference between a male and a female. Y'all hear me? That's how wicked and evil this whole thing is becoming. Man, I know I don't need to explain that here. Amen? Our Lord also declared, divorcing for any other reason makes the wife commit adultery because she would have to remarry for her own security. See, back in that day, women weren't allowed to work or even have money, and they had no way to provide for themselves or become self-sufficient if they needed to. If that, you know, dirtbag, sorry, if that sorry old man didn't like something she did, gave her a certificate, told her to send her on the way, and she had no way to provide. She would be homeless and have no way to provide for herself or even the children. And no food to buy. So she would like have to find another man that she could get with so that she can, the children could be provided for. That's why Jesus was saying this. Everybody with me? Likewise, any man who marries or divorces a woman commits adultery because God, in his eyes, still sees her married. Matthew 5:32, again. I read it one more time, but I say to you that everyone who divorces a wife except on the grounds of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Amen? So if this applies, make sure you're saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, and God has forgiven you, right? Because I've probably done worse things than you have. These guys have done a whole lot worse than you guys have. And these guys over here, those guys, these, right? So none of us are perfect. None of us get it right. None of us, you know, we all make mistakes. Now, adultery. Remember, we know what adultery means. It breaks the marriage bond. And remarriage, in this case, is fine. It's okay. Now, in the Old Testament, remember, we were talking about the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God really doesn't like divorce. He doesn't like these men that are mistreating women, too. In Leviticus 20:10, can't sleep at night. Read that before you go to bed. Leviticus, right? 20:10 says this. If a man, this is how much God can't stand this. If a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death immediately. Now, aren't you glad we don't live under the old covenant anymore? Aren't you glad that Jesus came and set us free from all those rules and regulations? Where you don't have to drag your teenage daughter or son out in the street and stone them to death for committing some of these. Now, said all that, I got to say this. Even in the case of sexual morality, Jesus is not encouraging us to divorce. He encourages us to seek counsel, to get on our knees, right? To ask God to heal. He's allowing this for unrepentant, adulterous spouses. Now, that was number one. Number one was adultery. Number two, second reason is for biblical divorce is abandonment. Abandonment. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul adds another biblical reason for divorce and then later remarriage. It applies to someone married to an unbeliever. Here's 1 Corinthians 7:15. But if the unbelieving partner separates or departs, whatever your translation says, it's this, all the translations are the same in the Greek. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. Let it be so. If such cases is not enslaved, God has called you to be at peace. Amen? Now the word translated there, that word separates or parts, that word is normally used for the word divorce in the Hebrew, which is the Old Testament. That's normally the word there is divorced. So if an unbelieving spouse abandons or divorces the believer is not bound to the marriage and they are free to marry again. Everybody with me? Number three. The third reason for biblical divorce is abuse. Abuse. And I want to spend a little time on this one. We'll close on this one. Adultery. Okay. Abandonment. And abuse. If a woman's life or the lives of her children are in serious danger, love demands she and her children be separated and protected. Sometimes husbands abuse their wives physically, emotionally, and sexually. And sometimes so-called Christian husbands abuse their Christian wives physically, emotionally, and sexually. You see, abusive men in ancient Israel and most of the Muslim countries and even today, you know, abusive men will tell their wives that you can't divorce me. You can't leave me. Because the Bible says. And they love to use that one about I haven't run around on you. I haven't, you know, had sex with another woman. You can't leave me. And what that does is that enslaves, psychologically traps that abusive lady or girl. Psychologically, they hold them hostage because of some religious dumb stuff that they don't even understand. And then that young lady or that woman, older woman, becomes a slave. They become entrapped because they don't understand the Bible. Or they go talk to some dumb preacher. Bible says you can't leave them. Sorry, if that ruffles your feathers, I apologize. I've dealt with so many women over the years because some dumb preacher told her some ridiculous thing I'm sorry, I'm just being real. God commands husband to live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to your women. And the Bible says, who are weaker vessels. Ladies, sorry, but that's just what the Bible says. Every husband should memorize this verse. Every husband should memorize this verse. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Man, if you're ugly to your wife, I don't think you guys are, but I gotta say it, right? If you're ugly to your wives, you're mean to your wives, you abuse your wives, the Bible's saying right here that God may not even hear your prayers. That's what it says. I believe, and this is just me, so Lord, please forgive me if I'm wrong, but I believe God gets so frustrated with a husband who doesn't try to understand his wife and show honor and respect to her. I think he gets frustrated. I think sometimes he will cause things to happen in our lives to get our attention, shake us up a little bit, talking to men. If that's true, what does God think about a husband who abuses his wife and children physically and emotionally and sexually? Now here's where I'm really stretching it. I believe Jesus feels the same way about a man who abuses women and children as he felt about the money changers, where he got his whip out and he went down and busted up that place. I've heard so many stories, I'm sure some of you guys have heard stories too. And again, this is just me, but sometimes I think Jesus might feel like stepping down from the right hand of the Father and coming down and whipping a bunch of men. I probably got that one wrong too, because he's full of mercy and grace and love, but also, you know, he don't like that stuff. God don't like ugly, does he? He really doesn't. And I can tell you this, a man shall reap what he sows. So if it applies. All right, women. Ladies, please listen. God loves you and he commands your husband to honor you and respect you. And if he is abusing you, you have every right to protect yourself and your children. Separating from him is a way to help him change. Now, at that point right there is not the time to think about divorce, right? Or linking up with another man. That's I know people are listening because people do listen to the sermons on the website. So, if he truly loves you, he will change. If he truly loves God, he will change. God's way is for him to change and repent of his wicked ways. So many ladies I've counseled over the years, they're sitting in a group therapy session or maybe in my office, and they say this, "But he loves me. I know he loves me. What do you think I should do? Leave his sorry butt. Divorce him." Aren't you a Christian? Aren't you a preacher? Yes. Because she's sitting there with a big, giant black eye and a big old swollen mouth down here. Bruises all down her arm. Get beat by whatever. And I say, he doesn't love you. How do you know that? I said, do you believe in the Bible? Yes. Well, the Bible says that love is, right? Y'all know what I'm saying. Love is patient. Love is kind. All that. So that is not love. When he beats you and tells you you're all the nasty, ugly things to you, that is not love. He does not love you. So you immediately need to separate. Take you and your children somewhere safe where you're protected. And then if he gets saved, born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, full of God, repents of his sins, right? Then you guys could be reconciled. It's sad. Ladies, don't fall for the battered wife syndrome. Right? Don't fall for it. Leaving him and praying for him is your way of doing everything possible to give him an opportunity to change. But for your own safety, for the safety of your children, you should not allow him to keep on abusing you. This applies to women abusing men too. I've seen that. Where the roles turned. God never encourages divorce because his way is always reconciliation. But, however, when that is not possible, biblical divorce may be the only option. Guys, biblical divorce is God's allowance for those who are innocent. God loves you, and he wants the best for you and your spouse and your marriage and your children. He wants the best. And for almost every time, it boils down to this, whether it's husband or wife or whatever issues, is getting alone and getting on your knees when no one's around and praying and asking God to forgive you, to heal you, to help you. Amen? Repentance. And then you and your spouse get together and humble yourselves and y'all get on your knees and you pray for each other and you give each other grace and mercy. That's love, isn't it? Here's another one too that somebody needs to hear right now. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Lord, as Miss Marianne plays, maybe there's someone here today that needs to come to the altar just and pray. Maybe there's folks that need to come to the altar and pray for someone that you know. Maybe pray for some family members that you're aware of that may be tangled up. Father, we just open up these altars now for some prayer time. Maybe there's someone here that would like to get saved, give their life to Christ. I'd love to pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen.